Oh, it is so good to see you. Doesn't it feel good to be in the house of God this morning? I feel good? Yeah. Oh, I've been at a conference all week, and I am just so glad to be back. It's so exciting, man, just to feel the presence of God in this room this morning and to be back with you today. I'm so excited. And Gina and my kids are away. They're visiting Grandma today. They'll be back next week. But, man, I am so glad that you're here today, and we're just going to have a fantastic time of worship today. Are you guys ready? Yeah. Very good. Last week we began a series called Blessed. We've been talking about the blessings of God. And this morning we want to continue that series today as we talk about, am I generous? Am I generous? In fact, the enemy of generosity is greed. We all struggle a little bit with greed. Greed is one of those weird things. It's kind of like nobody thinks of themselves as greedy. When we think of greedy, we think of like Scrooge down in his basement trying to hang on to every single thing that he's got. And nobody thinks of themselves like that. And yet, greed is a sin. It is a problem that pervades all of our hearts, at least sometimes. We all have greedy tendencies where we want to protect and to guard and to hold on to everything that we have. And the Bible really outlines for us in a beautiful way the remedy for greed that we're going to see today. Greed is one of those sins that's not as visible and as obvious maybe as some other sins because it's a heart issue. Greed is not a financial problem. Greed is a heart problem. And when our heart is greedy, our heart is turned away from God. So the question this morning is, am I generous? What can I do to develop a more generous heart? We say things like, I have to provide for my future, I've got to take care of my family, or, you know, I'm just a good planner, or I'm getting ready for the future. And all those things are good, but did you know sometimes they can be the greatest excuses for greed? I want to hang on to all of my stuff, sometimes we say. The Bible gives us the remedy for greed. And you know what it is? It's generosity. It's generosity. In John chapter 12, we're going to see one of the most amazing stories of generosity that you will see throughout the entire Bible. So I want you to grab your Bible today and hold on to that. John chapter 12, we'll be there in just a minute, because really to set the backdrop of what we're talking about today, we have to understand the Bible speaks of giving in at least three levels. One is the tithe. Last week we talked about how the first 10% goes to the house of worship. That's a tithe, the first 10. The next step is what the Bible calls offerings. Offerings is when we give above the tithe. Maybe there's a special offering, or there's a special emphasis, or maybe God just does something great in your life, and you're just grateful, and you want to just give an offering. I know Gina and I brought an offering to God when we had the birth of our first son. We had tried for 7 years to have kids, and we finally had one, and we were just grateful. And so I brought an extra $1,000 to God because I just wanted to say, God, thank you so much. And by the way, I'm so glad I don't have to go into any more fertility clinics. Praise God. Amen. It was so good. And sometimes there's just life events where you just want to say, God, thank you. Today we're going to talk about a third level of giving, not just tithes, not just offerings, but generosity, generous giving, extravagant giving, really is what we see here in John chapter 12. It's when our giving goes off the hook. And it doesn't even make sense, really, so to speak. Extravagance is exceeding appropriate boundaries. It's wild, it's excessive, it's unrestrained, it's out of bounds. This woman we're going to see today was totally out of bounds. She was extravagant. And sometimes people ask, well, Ryan, what is the difference between giving in the Old Testament and the New Testament? And you know, the answer to that is it's really the same. Sometimes we say, well, you know, if it's in the Old Testament, is it relevant today? Is tithing relevant today? Because it's talked about in the Old Testament. So is it, if it's in the Old Testament, is it relevant in the New Testament age? And if you don't know what the Old and New Testaments are, that's like the old part of the Bible and the new part of the Bible. But the new part of the Bible is 2,000 years old, so don't think too hard about that if you're trying to figure that out. I did have somebody ask me the other day, what's the difference between the Old and New Testament? That's a great question. Malachi 3 in the Old Testament says, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. Is that still relevant? It's interesting. Jesus, the only time he affirmed the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23 was they brought the tithe. Every time else, he was slapping them around. You know? He was saying, man, you guys are a bunch of creeps. You guys are a bunch of legalistic, you know, nut jobs, but you do bring the tithe. And that's what he says here in Matthew 23:23. So it is affirmed in the New Testament. In fact, the way that we interpret the Bible is not, if it's in the Old Testament, oh, we don't do that anymore. I don't hear people going around going, you know what, committing adultery, that's out, you know, that's talked about the Ten Commandments, and so, but that's the old stuff, man. You know, like, adultery is cool now. Now we're in the New Testament, you know? Or, I think I want to steal from people. You know, I know that's like in the book of Exodus, but, you know, I want to steal things. We still practice the things of the Old Testament unless they were changed in the New Testament. Now, there are a few examples of that. One of them is animal sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, they would offer a sacrifice to redeem the sins of the people. In other words, to reconnect people with God. And so if you sinned, you would bring a sacrifice, a goat, and a cow, a bird, or some sort. In the New Testament age, we see that Jesus was the sacrifice. So we don't bring animal sacrifices anymore because Jesus himself became the sacrifice for God once for all times. So that's different. Somebody sent me an email a couple of weeks ago about, is it okay to eat pork? You know? And I thought, man, I hope so, because I love bacon. I eat bacon before I come to church on Sunday mornings. It gets me fired up, you know, to preach God's word. I'm like, give me some bacon, you know? I need some protein. Amen. It's good. In Acts chapter 10, Peter got a vision from God. And God said, listen, the dietary codes of the Old Testament have changed. You can eat the things that were outlawed in the Old Covenant. Okay? You can read that. You can look at that. But that's simply stated. Are there differences between the Old and New Testament? Yes, they are. But it doesn't mean that we just abolish everything in the Old Testament unless it is changed in the New Testament. Are you guys feeling it today? Everybody understand that? Okay, very good. So let's keep going here. So where do we see some examples of giving in the New Testament? I mean, we see some amazing ones. And by the way, we see extravagant giving in the Old Testament. David was estimated to have given $21 billion to the construction of the temple. Now that is an offering. Amen? Yeah. He was the Bill Gates of his age. Solomon gave 1,000 sacrifices. In Acts chapter 4, verses 36 to 37, the Bible says, thus Joseph, who was called by an apostle, Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money and he laid it at the apostle's feet. Now that's some encouragement, right? No wonder they called him Barnabas. He sold an asset that he had, and he brought the entire amount of proceeds to the house of worship. That is an example of extravagant third level giving. He said, man, I want to sell this and I want to bring the whole thing. That's off the hook. Okay? That's over and above. We see another example of this in Luke chapter 21, verse 2. Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins, and he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they have all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put all that she had to live on. Do you have to be wealthy to give extravagantly? No. This poor little widow gave extravagantly, and she didn't have anything, and Jesus commended her. Another example, the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4. I'll just summarize. The Macedonian church, the church at Philippi, they're supporting the ministry of Jesus. And they do so by taking up an offering. And when Paul sees the amount of money that they've given and the fact that they're in an economic recession, he almost feels bad taking it because he says they gave beyond what they should have. They gave extravagantly. All the way through the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament, extravagant giving is commended, and it is a part of Christian worship. What do we see here in John chapter 12? This story we're looking at today is actually recorded in 3 Gospels. It's in Mark, it's in Matthew, it's in John. Today we're going to look at it primarily from the Gospel of John. But the first thing we see in this story that I'm about to read is that extravagant giving comes from a grateful heart. Extravagant giving comes from a grateful heart. The motivation for our generosity is the greatness of our God. Now, in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, check this out. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. And then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So here's what's going on. Mary and Martha are sisters. They've thrown a banquet. Why did they do so? Lazarus, their brother, in John chapter 11, had been raised from the grave. Now, is that a reason to party? I'm telling you. In fact, the King James Version says it beautifully. When it speaks of the resurrection of Lazarus, it says his body stinketh. You know, I mean, it was bad. Lazarus, it was game over for him, man. I mean, he was in trouble. And yet Jesus came and raised him from the dead. That is a reason to celebrate. And so this party in John chapter 12 is a direct reflection of what happened in John chapter 11. Mary and Martha, it's not Mary the mother of Jesus, it's Martha, the brother of Lazarus, the friend of Jesus. And she says, man, we got to celebrate. I mean, Lazarus is back. He's eating dinner with. Jesus is in town. Let's celebrate. And so they throw this huge party. And in this party experience, in this time, they're eating food, they're having a great time. Mary goes and gets some very expensive perfume, and she begins to anoint the head of Jesus and to pour this very precious asset on the head and on the feet of Jesus. Interestingly enough, it doesn't seem like in reading this text that Mary had planned this out. It was almost like it was a spontaneous act of worship. What would lead this woman, Mary, to do such a crazy thing? She was grateful to God. She was grateful to Jesus for what he had done. And the response was generosity. The response was, I want to give back. The response was, I got to say thank you. Now, it's interesting. We see here in the Gospel of Mark, this gift given to Jesus was an expensive perfume that was worth 30 denarii. And that was the equivalence of an amount of money. You know, like we have the dollar. You know, other countries have their currency. A denarii was a type of currency. It was the equivalence of about 1 year's salary. Okay, we're talking about some major perfume going on here, okay? If you could take for a moment and think about your annual salary, what you make in 1 year's time, whatever that number is, and you think about bringing that as an offering to God, that's what this woman did. I mean, she brought it. We're talking extravagant giving, not casual giving, not just tithing. We're talking about off the hook extravagance. And so she anoints the head of Jesus and the feet of Jesus. And interestingly enough, this is the only time Jesus is anointed before he would raise from the grave. Because when Jesus was crucified, it was too late. The Sabbath had already started. They could not anoint his body. And then they went. And then Saturday was, of course, the Jewish holy day where you could not anoint a dead body or touch a dead body. And then they were going to anoint his body on Sunday morning, but he'd already risen from the grave. So this is the only time Jesus' body is anointed. He's about to go to the cross, and Mary responds in generosity. Generosity should always be driven by gratefulness to God. How many of us in this room, just hold up your head, you needed some wisdom and God gave that to you? How many of you were suffering from addiction, or keep your hands up, all of you, addiction or depression or some other struggle, and the power of Jesus set you free from that? How many of us today didn't feel like we had any hope and even thought about taking our own lives, and yet Jesus showed up and invaded our experience and changed us? How many of us, we lived a dead life, and Christ came into our heart and gave us purpose and new life and hope and a new life that we never knew before? That is why we worship and we give to God. It's always out of gratitude to him. We are grateful to him. Now, here's why we don't give. We never give to God out of guilt. I hope today that you will not give to God, or any time, because you feel guilty. Oh my gosh, what are they going to think? Or everybody in my home group gives except me. and we write the check out. You know, when you start writing really hard on the check, you're like, grinding your teeth. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. We don't give out of guilt. We don't give also to control. Sometimes people in the church think if I give this gift, I get to call all the shots, you know? Or if I give this gift, then that means that we're going to put purple carpet with chartreuse polka dots in the worship center, you know, or whatever it may be. We don't give to control. We give as an act of worship to God. We say, God, thank you, out of gratitude, not out of guilt. And we give also not out of conditions. My life's going great. Oh, I want to give to God. Oh, think I hit a snag, hard time. No. I'm not going to bring the tithe to God. I mean, you know, I'm going through kind of a hard time. I'm kind of mad at God right now, you know. And sometimes our giving goes like this. You know, we're not consistent because we're so emotional about it. We give out of gratitude to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Mary understood this. And in this spontaneous act of worship, she brings this amazing gift to Jesus. Now, it's interesting. Generous people are inspired by the generosity of others. They're not critical of it. But here's the problem. Extravagant giving is criticized by some. Judas Iscariot began to criticize this gift. I mean, this beautiful offering that is given to Jesus, and what happens? Notice what she says in John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. But he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. It is amazing how super spiritual we can become when it comes to giving. And we should never be critical of the generosity of others. Judas is like, oh, that should have been given to the poor, you know? Oh, no, don't give that to Jesus. That should have been used in this way. And yet, Judas was not a tither. Judas was not a giver. He was stealing money from the treasury of the disciples. How hypocritical is that? You know, I have found in my own experience the people in the church that are the most critical of the money are the people that never give. I'm serious. It's almost always true. And so if you ever hear somebody being critical of somebody else's gift, or the way that the church spends the money, ask them if they're a tither, okay, before they do that. Because it's almost always true. Because listen, when people give to God, they're grateful. They're happy. When they see other people give, givers are inspired. Non-givers are critical. And sometimes we don't say it, but we think it. What a waste. What? I can't believe they did that. What a waste of money, you know. Could have done this and done that. We should never, never be critical of extravagant giving, as long as it's brought to Jesus. Amen? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I remember as a kid, when I got to be about the fourth or fifth grade, I was so excited. I noticed girls, you know? And my parents gave me some Brut by Fabergé. Loved that stuff. And I thought that was so cool because it said, Brut by Fabergé. I was like, yes. And I began to douse my body in Brut. You know, I thought I would become a chick magnet. Got on my Brut. Never worked out that way, really. Brut is so cheap, you can buy like a 10-gallon concentrate that you can mix up at home for 99 cents. I mean, it doesn't get any cheaper than Brut. And it smells cheap. I mean, it just, there's something about it, you know. When I got a little older, I got envious of my granddad because he wore Old Spice. You know? Now, Old Spice, that's some good stuff right there. It costs like 25 cents more than Brut. Like, Brut is like the bottom of the food chain. It's like the cheapest possible, you know, cologne that you can get. And then right up, like just one little step up is Old Spice. And Old Spice is funny because when you put it on, you want to whistle. It just does something to you. You know? Makes you happy. Like, You want to whistle. Love that stuff. When I was a kid, I got one of those Brute packs. You know, it's got like deodorant and aftershave and cologne and all. I used to use it. It was amazing. It was amazing. I put it on so much that I actually got a headache one time. It was incredible. Here's the thing. Mary did not bring her Brute to Jesus. She brought her best. She brought all that she had, man. She didn't bring the cheap junk to Jesus. She brought all that she had. She didn't bring him the Old Spice, you know? And sometimes we think about extravagant giving, we can be critical of that. I'll be honest with you, I love to give. And if my family knew how much money that I gave to the work of God, they would be, I know they would think I was crazy. You know, I've got family members, they'll give thousands of dollars to political candidates, but they won't give $100 to the church, you know? And if they knew what I gave, they would just think that was nuts. And you know what? That's okay, because I don't do it for them anyway. You know, I do it for him. I remember at the end of the year, a few years, getting the little giving receipt from the church, you know, that you mail out for your taxes and all that. And there's been a few years, I'm just being honest today, I've opened that letter up and I've looked at the number at the bottom and I've said, oh, crap. You know? And I've thought, man, I gave all this money to the church. I could have put that in retirement. I should have bought a new car. I should have started a college fund for my kids. I should have paid this. I should have done this. And we all kind of run through those moments of fear where we think about what it means to be generous to God, and our mind kind of plays tricks on us, and the evil one wants to deceive us and divert our attention away from us. But I'll tell you what, I'm always reminded that we can never outgive God. And I never regret one penny that I've given to the work of God, because I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Don't we serve a great God? Isn't that awesome? That's true. So Judas is criticizing, and we see two hearts here. We see the heart of generosity in Mary. We see the heart of greed in Judas. The heart of greed is the evaluator, the critiquer. The heart of generosity is the person that's grateful to God, that just is caught up in the moment. And interestingly enough, Judas is stealing money. He's a thief. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Everything about Judas' life was about greed. He's selling Jesus out. He's stealing off the treasury. He's critiquing the sacrificial giving, the extravagant giving of Mary. And in the whole time, his heart is filled with greed. The Bible says this: when we hold back the tithe from God, we are being greedy. We are stealing from God, Malachi chapter 3. So we need to bring the tithe and be faithful to God. And a beautiful thing happens in us because it begins to rid our heart of greed. We can do battle with the sin of greed by becoming generous. And our motive today is always gratitude to God. We don't give to get, but listen to this. It is against the nature of God to not bless you. That's not our motivation. That's not why we do it. We don't give to God to go, man, I hope I can win the lottery, you know. I'm going to put a little tithe check in this week. That's not the motivation. The motivation is gratitude to God. But when we give to God, God returns the blessings. And sometimes those are tangible and sometimes they're intangible. But God is a good God waiting to bless us. We talked more about that last week. How does Jesus respond? Extravagant giving is affirmed by Jesus. Mark chapter 14, Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time. But you will not always have me," Jesus says. When we really see who Jesus is, it changes the way that we give. He has done so much for us. Jesus affirms it. He's like, "Judas, you need to shut up. You thief, you know." Interestingly enough, why did Jesus let Judas continue to keep the treasury of the disciples when he was stealing? I believe he was giving Judas a second chance. He was giving Judas another opportunity to change his heart. And to have the heart of Mary and to learn from the example of Mary, the heart of gratitude, the heart of generosity, not the heart of greed. The fourth thing today we see is extravagant giving is an example and an encouragement to others. And verse 9 says this, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Mary is an inspiration. We're still talking about her gift 2,000 years later. That's a pretty significant thing, isn't it? It was so gracious. It was so extravagant. It was so filled with worship that we're still talking about it this morning. And that's why we love to share testimonies. We love to share stories today of the goodness and the greatness of our God, because it pumps us up. When we hear somebody else's story, it builds our faith. We heard a fantastic testimony last week from Brian Treadwell. This morning, we're going to hear another fantastic testimony from Esker and from Sandra, a great couple in our church. Let's check out this story today about what God has been doing in their life. Isn't that fantastic today? Isn't that great to see what God is doing? Amen. And you know, Esker and Sandra, I don't think they were at the early service, so we can talk about them a little bit. Guys, they're normal people. Okay, they're folks like you. They're folks like the other folks here today. They're not like people that have been missionaries and, you know, have angels follow them around all the time. I'm talking about normal folks getting their finances in order with God, and God is blessing. And God wants to bless you. In fact, underneath your chair, there's a 90-day tithe. Let's all pull those envelopes out. Chad, bring me that envelope right there if you don't mind. Let's all pull these envelopes out. We're doing something in our church we started last week called the 90-Day Tithe Challenge. It's an incredible thing. The book of Malachi says to test me in this. And so we're taking God seriously. And what that means is that if you commit to tithe for 90 days, and you don't see that God's blessed you, the church will refund your money. Okay, it's not, nobody's going to hassle you, nobody's going to lecture you, or you don't have to go to a series of, you know, counseling or therapy or whatever. I mean, it's not like that. God's going to bless you. God's going to do it. That's who He is. And today, if you'd like to be a part of that, all the information and all the details and stuff are in that. You just fill that card out. You can put it in the offering plate. You can mail it in the business reply envelope if you want to do it that way too. That's fine. But guys, what an opportunity to experience the blessings of God. We have a great God. We want you to experience the same things that Esker and Sandra saw and what we're going to hear from several amazing testimonies. You do not want to miss next week. This is going to be off the hook. Next week, we're going to talk about how God uses our giving to change lives. And we have some off-the-hook, amazing stories of life change. And your giving has been making a difference. Okay, I don't want to get too far ahead of us next week, but your giving is changing lives. So that's next week. But here's the deal. A lot of times we believe Jesus for our salvation. oh yeah, man, I believe I can go to heaven to be with God. But yet we don't believe that God can take care of our bills. We don't believe God can provide for us. I mean, you know, is that crazy? We believe that we can go to heaven and spend eternity with God and worship Him, and yet we don't believe that God could just bless us just a little bit to take care of it. It's crazy. The 90-day tithe challenge is going to stretch your faith. It's going to take your faith to a whole nother level. It's going to be awesome. And by the way, I want you to start emailing me Monday about the miracles and the amazing things that God is doing in your life. And I'm going to let you borrow some of my faith. I know some of you are like, yeah, but you don't know my situation. You know, you don't know what's going on in my life, Ron. Hey, I know that, but I know the God that we serve. And so you could borrow some of my faith today if you're a little bit skeptical. You know, I'm going to put that on loan to you. And I want you to email me. And by the way, thank you for your emails this week and all of the questions and all of the comments and all the stories of life change. Incredible week. It was awesome. Thank you. Keep that coming. This is going to be great. We don't give to get, but what we always get when we give, because we serve a great God. And maybe today, let me just say this final word of encouragement. You know, several years ago, I woke up one day and the Lord just kind of impressed upon me, Ryan, you've been a Christian for like a really long time, and you still give 10%. You still give the tithe. You're always trying to share the gospel more. You're always trying to learn more about the Bible. You're trying to pray more. You're trying to grow spiritually. Why are you not growing in your giving? You're still doing what you did when you were 8 years old. It's time to grow up a little bit. And at that point, Gina and I began to give offerings above the tithe. Maybe you've given the tithe, you've given the 10% your whole life, but you're like, you know what? I don't want to do the minimum. I want to be extravagant. I want to be gracious. I want to be generous. I want to give above. Maybe this is the time for you to start stretching your faith. And you want to start doing some Mary-type giving that we saw here today. So just think about that today as God speaks to you and moves in your heart. And today I really just want to pray for you to have wisdom and faith and that God would just do what He wants to do in your life. Is that great? Let's do it. God, we thank You today for the word that You've spoken to us through the life of Mary, the heart of generosity. God, our desire is to not be people of greed. We have all been blessed, huge, big time. Lord, even to just live in our country and to live in this community, God, thank You for giving us new hope and new life in You. And God, now we see the future as an opportunity to worship and to say thank You, thank You, thank You. So Lord, I pray today that every person in this room would have amazing faith. For every person that's struggling, every person that's uncertain and not sure about how this is going to work, God, do an amazing work in every heart in life today that we can bring honor and glory to You. That is our desire this morning. And for that reason, we give You praise. Pray this all in the wonderful name of the one who gives us life, Jesus Christ. Amen.